Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 23rd, 2013. Fresh from the prayer room, Jason. We just prayed up the program, and we're asking God to use whatever said and shared to draw people to himself. And I'm thinking, so I'm going to do the ticket giveaways on the front, middle, and end or something. And we got to keep you captivated, listener, to be a part of today's broadcast, because I'm hoping as something is shared, it's going to trigger maybe a hungering for God's word, or maybe the initiation of, I'm going to start that practice tomorrow. Or you're going to meet with a couple friends and say, what do you think about that passage that was talked about on Mark and Friends? Or did you identify with that story, that joke that Jason told? Because, gosh, there's a lot of truth in that, or whatever it is. So we're going to have some giveaways. So don't call yet, because I want to explain this. Some people start calling, and they'll even know what they're calling in for. Hey, am I the third caller? Yes. Well, what do I win? It's like, well, why do you even call? On Monday and Tuesday, we featured Matt Chandler. We had a conversation with him. And on Monday, he began talking about his new book, To Live is Christ, To Die is Gain, out of Philippians. So many of you are familiar with that passage and that verse. But I loved his heart and his sharing and his testimony. And then on Tuesday, we continued with that conversation. And then you and I, for I think about the remaining 14, 15, 18 minutes, just commented on some of the things that he had said and shared. And so those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But I bring that up because I have a couple copies of To Live is Christ, To Die is Gain by Matt Chandler. And right now the third caller at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, will get a copy. And this is a hardbound book. It's a nice one. And we'll send that off to you in the next few days. So the third caller right now, and when this re-airs in the evening, those of you that pay attention and say, hey, you know what? I know exactly when the call-in is. I'm going to listen tonight at 7:32 p.m., and you'll be ready to call in. So the third caller during the morning and evening edition of Mark and Friends. And then to keep you attentive to listening for the next 18 or 20 minutes, I'm going to give away a couple tickets to Memphis, the musical, coming to the State Farm Center on Wednesday, October 30th. And so these are these are B-level tickets, so they're pretty decent tickets to the Broadway series Memphis. And then maybe end of the program, we'll have some tickets to the Marching Illini in concert at the State Farm Center this Sunday, 3 p.m. That's October 27th. We'll have a pair of tickets to the Marching Illini. And that's a great show. I've been there, I guess, two or three different years. And you get that drum corps going and the whole marching band seated and then sharing, and just a musical wonderland. So, hey, thanks for listening, by the way, everyone. Mark and Friends is heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. And we count it a privilege to serve you through some of the things that we will share, either from God's Word, from the radio happenings, from different events or activities, from some of the different interviews, the authors, artists, musicians, people that have a faith journey story that is God-honoring and yet practical. We can identify with some of the struggles maybe they went through, or some of the answers to prayer that they experienced, or just some of the things that we can glean and say, you know what, I'm going to put the Lord to the test. I'm going to start tithing each and every week to my church, or I'm going to begin a new practice because I saw where that person stepped out in faith. So hopefully today we'll have something shared or discussed that will help you. And if you want to be prayed for, I'm just covering the whole gamut of things, Jason, here. send in your prayer requests, your comments, your thoughts, unique ways that maybe we can be more effective in ministering to you, or some of the programs that God has used in your life. You can write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or you can call in a question or a comment and say, hi, Karen, I've heard about you. Jason calls you the rock star of this radio ministry.
Right.
And Karen will love to spend some time maybe.
She's the muscle behind the hustle.
Yeah. And that phone number is 217-367-7777 for our great Indiana listeners. Toll-free number is 1-888-333-9466, and that 9466 is WGNN, but most of our Indiana listeners listen to WGNJ. So 217-888-333-9466. So What's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Oh, man. It's something every day, right?
And Samuel's still in the hopper.
He's still in the hopper. It's on his own terms. He's going to do this thing when he feels like doing it.
Which could be really almost any moment, but probably a few days away, maybe within the week, you'd think.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know, and I just keep saying it's not about me knowing because I drive myself crazy doing that. So when he's ready, he's going to come, and he's going to come see us. But speaking of coming to see us, I was reading this yesterday, and I was really just – I love this passage. I have it already highlighted and underlined and a bunch of scribbling around it in my Bible here. But it's in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, and what do we remember about Corinth? Corinth was like the church. I mean, any problems that we see right now in churches today, any problems, amplify that by 10 or 20, and you've got the church in Corinth. Corinth was young, it was urban, it was way off the rails. People were just nuts. And Paul says in chapter 4, and beginning in verse like 14, he says these things about the church, and then finally he says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Paul begins to build for the people in Corinth this idea that he's their father and they're his children, and he's trying to build this idea of what their relationship is like, that he cares for them like he would care for children that belong dearly to him. And he says, you know, you may have 10,000 guardians in Christ. He says, though you do not have many fathers, for in Jesus Christ I became your father through the gospel. So he's saying, through the gospel, you became my children, and I became your father. And which means is that when we bring somebody into the gospel or we share the gospel with somebody and they begin to inch forward towards Christ, there's a reliance on us. They become like little children. You know, I've had many people that I've known who have come to Jesus, and you almost see that childlike glimmer in their eyes, and they're giddy and excited for Christ, you know, and they buy over the course of a couple of weeks 10 or 15 mm-hmm. different Bibles. They're just so excited for Jesus, just like kids. And a spiritual father is somebody who comes behind those people and says, now look, let me show you what it means to walk with maturity and integrity and character. And that's what Paul is trying to do here for this church in Corinth. He realizes he loves these people. They went off the rails. And like many of us do, he wants to bring them back. And so he says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you. And what does he want to warn them of? Well, actually, later in the passage, he actually says this. He says he wants to come to them very soon if the Lord's willing, and then he's going to find out how these arrogant people are acting. And he actually says he's going to find out if they have any power. So there was an arrogance within this church at Corinth. But what's really fascinating, this is what I love here, is he says, you don't have many fathers, but in Christ Jesus, I became your father in the gospel. He says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. And when I read that, I just go, man, you know what? That raises the bar on my walk with Jesus. That raises the bar on how I'm supposed to be following Jesus, because Paul here said that he could write a letter to his disciples and say, you be like me. Could we, with the people who are following us and who are living life around us, could we say that to them? I mean, do you live a life in such a way that you could say, imitate me? Mm. Or would you be like, you know, well, don't be like me over here, and don't be like what I do when I'm with my wife, or don't be like what I do when I'm with my kids or my in-laws. But Paul's saying, in every aspect of my life, imitate me. And then this is what Paul does. Now, remember, these people in Corinth are his disciples. He planted this church. This is a church that he's intimately connected to, right? And he's saying, imitate me. But then he sends another one of his disciples to the church. He says, for this reason. What reason? Because they've gone off the rails. For this reason, they've become arrogant. For this reason, because he wants them to imitate him, because he's following Jesus. He wants them to follow him more closely, because he's closely following Jesus. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere and in every church. That passage right there is so loaded for how we should live the Christian life. It is so loaded.
Read that again.
For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Now, right away, even if you got only Flannel Graph 101 under your belt, when he says, I'm sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, what does it make us think of? It makes us think of the moment in Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus comes out of the water after his baptism and God says, my son whom I love. You see, Paul viewed Timothy like God viewed Jesus. Paul had that love and affection, that relationship. When people would hear this after hearing the gospel, I've got to think that they would say, that sounds like Jesus, my son whom I love. There was an intimacy between Paul and Timothy. Timothy, no doubt, imitating Paul because Paul was imitating Jesus. Paul was following so closely to Jesus. And he says, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. Paul being the guy. I mean, let's be honest. Paul was the guy. I mean, he traveled to all these churches and formed all these churches, Berea and Troas and Tyre, even though we don't hear in the book of Acts that he formed the church of Tyre. When he came back through, disciples met him at the shore before he headed back to Jerusalem and was arrested. Corinth and Berea and down into Athens. And I mean, Paul was the guy. He was traveling and planting these churches. Look at, for Paul to say to you, you're faithful, that's probably a pretty high bar because of who Paul was. And I got to believe, too, Paul being zealous for the law in his past life applied that zealous nature to following Jesus. We see that. I mean, he, throughout the book of Acts, now I know on the radio program here on Fridays, we're only in chapter 2, but at the church, we're like in chapter 20-something.
Hey, we made it to chapter 3 last week.
Yeah, we did make it to chapter
just
3.
Barely.
But we're in chapter like 23, I think, this next 22, 23 this next week. And when you look at the life and the ministry of Paul, Paul is zealous and tenacious for the gospel. Paul takes a beating, literally, for the gospel. I believe maybe it's 19, where he's stoned and he gets back. They take him out to the edge of the city. They stone him, it says, to death, so much so the disciples come around him and they think he's dead. And then it says he got back up and he went back into the city. By the way, when it says he went back into the city, what city did he go back into? The one from which the people who just stoned him came from. Yeah. So it's like the Terminator. He rolled back into town like, I am back. You know, and it was like, oh my gosh, you just stoned the guy to death and he came back. I mean, that's zealous. That, look, at some of us can't even go to the water cooler because we're scared because somebody might go, oh, it's Tom the Christian. This is Paul who just gets stoned and he goes back to the water cooler and he's like, I'm here. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here and I brought the gospel. I mean, Paul's just that way. He's tenacious. So when Paul says that Timothy is faithful, I mean, the bar is pretty high. Timothy must be very, very faithful. And we know that Timothy becomes an elder in the church in Ephesus. So Timothy was quality. And he says, he'll remind you. By the way, the word remind in the Bible here, the word remind is not like he's going to come and go like, hey, remember the gospel?
Yep.
Okay, good. No, remind you is he's coming back to teach them. He's going to come and remind them. He's going to teach them.
Almost, in a sense, reinforce what Paul had already taught and discussed.
Well, and wasn't that just Paul's nature? I mean, look at, where did Paul go? Let us walk through the three missionary journeys of Paul. The first missionary journey of Paul, where did he go to? Galatia. Second missionary journey of Paul, where did he go to? Galatia. Third missionary journey of Paul, where did he go to? Galatia. He went back through the same because Paul's whole idea was to continually strengthen those churches because Paul knew through the Holy Spirit and the revelation of Jesus that churches left to their own demise without encouragement were going to fall on hard times. They were going to be exactly where Corinth is at. They were going to struggle. And Paul knew that. And so Paul, he goes back through and he continues to strengthen the churches. Well, here he sent Timothy now. Look, at Paul goes, I don't have to be the guy. I don't have to be the guy. I'm going to send you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful, which means he loves Jesus and he loves you. And he's going to remind you. And what's he going to remind him? Of my way of life in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say he's going to remind you of the doctrinal things. He's going to remind you of those verses in the Bible. He's going to remind you of some theology. That's not what Paul says.
I'm almost surprised he didn't say he's going to remind you of the teaching or Jesus' life. The fact that he's going to remind you of me, I'm just maybe projecting, but here he's like, I'm just like all of you, and I'm living and breathing, and you can identify with him and with me. And I'm surprised he didn't say with the teachings
of
Jesus.
Well, he says he'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
The most powerful piece there is the in Christ Jesus. Because when you're in Christ Jesus, look at, I know people who worship theology. I know people who worship doxology, which is worship and that. I know people who worship all the different facets of religion. I'm going to tell you right now, Paul didn't do that. What Paul did is he worshiped Jesus. And because he did that, the totality of all those other things came into being. Paul had good theology, he had good doctrine, he had good worship, he had good prayer, he had good all those things, not because he focused on any one of those things, because he focused on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what Timothy comes to remind him. Timothy comes to say, look, it's about theology, it's about all these things, but that's only because Jesus is the focus of what you're doing. He's the wellspring from which all these things flow. And so Paul says that it's fascinating, my way of life. And also, I think that this is a fascinating invitation by Paul to allow people to look at his life. He's going to teach you my way of life in Christ Jesus. He's going to remind you of that, which is Paul saying, it's an open door. Look in. Try and find the places where I'm not living that way and speak into it. But you know what? Look, at Paul was the same guy who penned these words that said, of the sinners, I'm chief. Which means that the closer Paul got to Jesus, the more he understood how sinful he was, the more he understood the places that he would fall and the places that he would fail. And I really believe that Paul, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, but I believe that Paul would throw those things down on the floor and just say to Satan, have at it. Pick those up. I put them there. You know, I think that sometimes in our spiritual warfare, what we do is we build a head of steam yelling at the devil. But in doing that, we don't ever put down or lay down the things that the devil's using to condemn us with. One of the most powerful things I've ever been a part of when it comes to spiritual warfare with people is telling people, throw it there on the floor. Let the devil see it. And when he comes to you and he says, you struggle with this, you go, I knew you were going to say that. I put it right there. I knew you were going to do that. I put it right there. Instead, we're shocked that the devil comes and he uses those things against us. You know why? It's because we're still coveting and holding those things tight. If we would open the doors of our Christian life and open the windows of our Christian life to our Christian brothers and sisters, he would have a whole lot less to work with.
Yeah, that's where you've said in the past, you know, when you bring things out to the light, the power that Satan has on those things that we've kept as deep, dark secrets becomes broken, because when we bring it out to the light or we say, Lord, I am struggling with this, you know, suddenly healing can start taking place, or people can speak in truth, or accountability can be forged because people say, hey, we know he struggles or she struggles in this area, and so they come alongside you. But yeah, we don't want Satan to have the upper hand in any of that.
Right. And I think that, you know, I really believe that in a lot of spiritual warfare, we empower Satan to be able to battle against us by holding things too tight, by shame, by our own guilt, by our own feelings of inadequacy. I've said before, we tend to want to separate ourselves from all the things that are good. I'll separate ourselves from God. You know, you can tell right away when somebody's in sin because they stop showing up to church, they stop praying, they stop reading their Bible. All those things start falling apart because nobody in the midst of sin wants to have an intimate relationship with God. Nobody does. Just the same as when you have a fight with your wife, you don't want to share anything intimate with her because you're in the middle of a fight. You don't want to do that. That's why I tell couples, I say, when you guys are arguing, grab one of you guys, just step forward and grab the other one and pray. Because I guarantee you that whatever you're fighting about will be deflated somehow, because you're going to bring Jesus into the middle of it. And Jesus is, what is he? The mediator. Let him come in and mediate your conversation. But we don't do that. There's all kinds of places that we don't let Jesus come into. Paul here is saying, analyze my life. And he even goes so far as to say that he'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. He's going, you know what? Ask Timothy. This is how I live. By the way, if it's not, pick up the phone. Call them over in Troas. Call up in Berea. Call over to Philippi and talk to Lydia. Go down to Athens and talk to those guys. Ask any of them. I'm no different anywhere else. I don't arrive over here and talk one way and arrive over here and talk the other way and do this here and do that there. Because I follow Jesus, that becomes the constant in my life. You know, I think that often we tend to kind of become the person in the place. Well, what do I need to be over here, and what do I need to be over here, and what do I need to be over here, instead of allowing Jesus to be who we are everywhere that we go. I've heard a lot of people, it was really fascinating. I worked in retail for a number of years, as did you, Mark. You know, I would meet people outside of work, and they would be really different. Mm-hmm. You'd meet somebody, you'd go like, wow, you're like a lot of fun. You know, and they're like, well, you know, I just really can't act this way there. Or I really can't show who I am there. I'm afraid if I share this, people might attack me, or they might use it against me, or they might, and subtly they would put on this mask or this face where they went, and they wouldn't be the person that God made them to be. They would be somebody else. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just going to be honest with you. You can't maintain that kind of charade for long. You can't do it. It doesn't work. You have to be who God designed you and made you to be. And, you know, we can analyze and go like, man, look at Paul's ministry. Paul is so effective. He's so powerful in his ministry. You know why Paul is powerful in his ministry? Because Paul knew who Jesus was, and because he knew who Jesus was, he knew who he was. That's cut and blank. That's it. You want to know the secret to Paul's ministry? I believe the secret to Paul's ministry is knowing who Jesus was and then realizing who he is in Christ. And being okay with that, being okay with all the ticks and whistles that he was, being okay with who he was. I mean, we read the book of Acts. I mean, Paul's got a bit of a fast temper, too. I mean, there's a girl in Philippi, he only heals because he's frustrated with her. He tells her after she's followed him around for a number of days and she's been giving him this litany of, so he heals her. But he says he heals her because he was exasperated and frustrated with her, not because he was like, oh, the grace of the Lord has moved me to heal you, my daughter. Mm-hmm. No, he was frustrated. He was human. But you know what? He was also admitting that, you know, and hey, the closer I come to Jesus, the more I see that I happen to do these things. But he opened up the window and he didn't close it. And I think especially even in these days, I run across a lot of Christians who these days, because, you know, things are happening in the world and in the news and all these kinds of things, and they think that the only way that they can maintain a safe Christianity is to lock the doors and lock the windows, to pull the curtains tight, and to do all that and somehow hope that they'll keep their Christian home. I mean, when I say home, I mean literally your home, but then I mean yourself. Keep that safe from anything coming in. But you know what? That's not what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is about opening the doors, opening the windows, standing outside, and whoever cares to throw stones will throw stones at you. But you know what? Colossians 3, one of my favorite verses, says that when you appear with Christ, he appears with you in glory. And so therefore, Christ takes that stone for you. Christ carries that burden and load for you. Christ does it all. But I'm going to tell you what, he's a gentleman and he's not going to do it unless you give that to him. Give it to him. Give yourself to him.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down three words, modeling, influencing, and consistency. And I'd like to say that comment, follow me as I follow Christ. And Paul was able to say that to Timothy, and Timothy was able to teach that because Paul modeled Christian behavior and all the things he did. He was an influencer, and he was consistent because of his walk with Jesus. And to keep my walk consistent with what I said early on, I got to give some tickets away, and we're running out of time. So what I'm going to do is the third caller right now will get two tickets, a pair of tickets to Memphis coming to the State Farm Center on Wednesday, October 30th, and then the sixth caller will get two tickets to the Marching Illini coming October 27th, that's this Sunday, 3 p.m., to the State Farm Center. So, hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.